The scripture lesson today comes to us from Isaiah. Listen to his words carefully. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who live in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of tramping warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulder, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and righteousness from this day onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. The second scripture reading comes from John. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Jill, and choir, and Jim, and all of those, our ushers, all of those that help Sam and Phil. There's a lot that goes in, and a lot of people that have their hands in worship and planning worship. And, of course, Joseph, our acolyte, and those that recruit all of our liturgists and acolytes, we appreciate all that you do this morning. Will you pray with me and for me? Oh God, open your word to us this day and remove any obstacles from our hearing and our receiving. Amen. At 1:37 p.m. on November the 18th, the polar night began as the sun set in, and I'm going to try to pronounce this without butchering it, Utqiagvik, Alaska, the former town of Barrow, Alaska. And it will not break the horizon again until January 23rd, 66 days later. The town doesn't experience 24 hours of complete darkness, however, thank goodness. For each day, there is different types of twilight. There is astronomical, nautical, and civil twilight. And so there are 3 hours of usable light during that civil twilight, the brightest of the twilight phases. Carson Frank, an associate at the University of Alaska Museum of the North, told USA Today in an interview that residents prepare for polar night by taking vitamin D supplements and then purchasing what is often referred to by them as a happy lamp. A happy lamp, a lamp that mimics daylight in the home. And now you can actually buy light bulbs that somewhat mimic that daylight. And if you'll notice, they are much brighter, more of a bluer light than the white lights that we're used to. But I don't think I could do it. As I mentioned, Jill and I were talking about how gray it is and how depressing it is this morning before worship started. I don't think I could ever live in an area where there is so little sunlight, because I have learned that I am affected by the amount of sunlight I receive. Now, I don't go out and do the sunbathing thing. I'm not a sun worshiper in the summertime. I've never done a tan. I've kind of figured if not tanning was okay for Scarlett O'Hara, it's okay for me. And so I have not been the one to go out and tan. I don't like to sweat. That's the real truth to it. I don't like to go out and sweat. But I need sunlight. And so this past week, as we have had this stretch of gray, dreary days, it plays with my emotions. It mixes with my emotions. And I find I'm less motivated to do stuff. I am more irritable. I kind of get, not necessarily depressed, but I do get somewhat down. I get angry easy. And so it affects me to not have that sunlight. I like daylight, and I like to live in a place that has a lot of daylight. I like to live in a home where there's a lot of light that comes in. In my home in Maryville, when I was in Maryville, there was no front window. There was just the back window, and the walls were dark in the house, and so it was very depressing, the house was. I felt like I was closed off. And so I needed that. So then I moved to Morristown, which had huge windows and a sliding glass door in the back, lots of daylight streaming in, and I absolutely loved seeing all of that daylight. There's been much debate the past few years about the effects of light on people. It has been shown that it affects the level of melatonin if we don't have enough daylight or enough darkness. So darkness sometimes is necessary to get a good night's sleep. So there are some advantages to the dark. And also we have talked about the debate of artificial light. They encourage you not to go to bed and do what? Start scrolling on your phone. I need to listen to them because I'm bad about doing that. But that artificial light is not good for us as we try to go to sleep. And so they encourage not only that, but to about 2 hours before you go to bed to shut off all artificial light, including the television. And many of us probably watch television right up until the time we go to bed, and even after we get in the bed, we like our television. And then, of course, we all love to go out and see a good starry night, don't we? We haven't had any good starry nights lately because of the clouds, but we do enjoy those good, beautiful starry nights, full moons, and seeing things like that. But darkness is also scary. Darkness is scary. Who of us as a child did not have some level of fear in the dark? The boogeyman under the bed, the monster in the closet, that ghost we think we saw flitting across the room, and then we screamed for mom and dad to come rushing in to save us. We never really feel safe in the dark, do we? We always feel like there's something lurking in the shadows. Well, today, the context of our text from Isaiah, and this, by the way, we've been through 3rd, 2nd, today we're in 1st Isaiah, what we refer to as 1st Isaiah. It's all one book, but different sections. Today, in this text from Isaiah, it is before the tribe of Judah was destroyed, the southern kingdom destroyed. And so destruction is looming in the shadows for them. The Assyrians have been seizing power in the region, which will eventually lead to the fall of Israel, the northern kingdom, in 722 BC. But at this point, however, Israel is trying to stand its ground and fight off the advances of the Assyrians. To strengthen their power, Israel and Aram have put pressure on King Ahaz and Judah to form an alliance to combat the Assyrian army. Ahaz refuses. So Israel and Aram turn on Ahaz and the people of Judah. In chapters 7 and 8, we read where God sends the prophet Isaiah to this crisis to speak words of both warning and of hope to the hearts of the people of Judah and King Ahaz. Isaiah warns Ahaz and the people not to join Israel and Aram. And twice in those chapters, once in each of the chapters, there is the promise of a child. In chapter 7, that child is given the name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. But instead of trusting in the word God has given through Isaiah, we find at the end of chapter 8 that the people are consulting mediums and spirits to which Isaiah says, when someone tells you to consult mediums and spiritists who whisper and mutter, should not a people inquire of their God? Why consult the dead on the behalf of the living? Consult God's instruction and the testimony of warning. If anyone does not speak according to this word, they have no light of dawn. Distressed and hungry, they will roam through the land. When they are famished, they will become enraged, and looking upward will curse their king and their God. Then they will look toward the earth and see only distress and darkness and fearful gloom, and they will be thrust into utter darkness. They have no light of dawn. They will look toward the earth and see only distress and darkness and fearful gloom, and they will be thrust into utter darkness. The people were being warned of what was coming before them if they did not turn and trust their God. But maybe this third time is the charm. For once again, in today's passage from Isaiah, we read from the 9th chapter, and we read about yet again a baby who was promised, a baby who will bring freedom and peace. Hear these words again. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness. From this time onward and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord's host will do this. The people who walked in darkness, those people thrust in utter darkness, are promised that a great light will come upon them, and this light will be the Prince of Peace. The sun will rise, darkness will be overcome, and give way to this new light dawning into the world, coming as one with some mighty ostentatious names. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace. Big names and big shoes to fill. But it is one coming as an infant with the heart of a servant. Now, it's interesting that the sun rises actually an illusion. How many of you go out to watch the sunrise in the morning? A few of you do. I admit I don't. I am not a morning person. As much as I love daylight, I'm not a morning person. I don't function until the sun's up. My mind just doesn't go there. And I've had my coffee, of course. But many people love to go out and watch the sunrise. And it is, those times I have been out and done that, it is a joy to watch. For one thing, I love it because the birds, I love to hear the birds usher in the sun as they're coming. Greg used to call that a jubilation. And so the birds join in this jubilation welcoming the sun. But the sunrise is actually an illusion, and you probably know that, because the sun never really goes down or goes away, does it? We get the sense of the sun setting because of the rotation of the earth. And so it is the face of the earth that moves away from the sun that causes the sun to set in our minds. And then as the earth rotates back toward the sun, we have the illusion of the sun rising in the east. So remember that it's somewhat of an illusion that the sun never really goes away. In the commentary Feasting on the Word, Beth Lanil Tanner writes about the response of King Ahaz and the people of Judah at the end of chapter 8 in her article about today's Isaiah 9 passage, saying, the king and the people are reacting from fear, and that fear drives them to do the unthinkable. Indeed, the king may have gone as far as to sacrifice his own son to try and appease the gods of Assyria and stop the coming invasion. Now that's pretty desperate, isn't it? To be willing to take the life of your own son to ward off an invasion. So do you think that the king and the people had turned their face from God as the earth turns its face away from the sun, bringing about utter darkness? It certainly seems so, doesn't it? It wasn't just the threat brought on by the Assyrian invasion that hung a dark cloud over Judah. It was also their own apostasy, losing faith in the God who had created them and made them his chosen people, and instead turning to mediums and spirits to give them answers that they wanted to hear. Answers they wanted to hear, but not necessarily answers they needed to hear. This morning on this third Sunday of Advent, we have to ask ourselves, when have we been like the people of Judah? When have we thought that maybe God is moving too slow on something that we are wanting to see happen? And so in our impatience with God, and we do get impatient with God, don't we? In our impatience with God, we decide to take matters into our own hands, to speed the process along. We're guilty about doing that in churches quite often. Things aren't going fast enough in the church, and so we need to hurry things up, and we tend to make rash and quick decisions instead of really taking time to discern and to listen to God. Or maybe we think that God is wrong, that we have something in mind that we are wanting to see happen or that we are wanting to do, and we sense that God is wanting to go in a different direction, and we just decide, God's wrong. God's wrong. And we do that a lot, more than we dare think we do. Many of us do that in our lives with our careers, or sometimes even with someone that we are attracted to. And we realize later on, I should have listened to God. If you're like me, you can imagine several times where we have done that, taking matters into our own hands, being impatient, or thinking we knew better than did God. But how did that work for you? How did that work for us as a church when we've done that? Most of the time, not so well, did it? Not at all. It is when they have their back to God that God speaks the words of hope to the people of Judah. Words that should have restored their faith, words that offered a glimmer of light just on the horizon, and promise that light would one day shine bright and bring them peace and restore them as the people of God as they turn from their evil ways, their lack of faith to face its rising. And that same promise, now realized for those living under Roman oppression years later, is found again in John's gospel, but this time spoken by the one who came as that light. Jesus the Christ, who said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. There will be no more utter darkness for those who follow Jesus the Christ, for the light of life is always with them. But remember, the sun never really goes away. Jesus is the light of the world. They tried to extinguish it, but they were unsuccessful. This light who came into the world was killed, but then rose again. And that light continues to shine. Jesus is the light of the world. He is the light that shines in the darkness. And John tells us the light that has not been and cannot be overcome by darkness. As the earth rotates back towards the east, we see the light of the sun rising over the earth. And the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. I wonder if we lived in Utqiagvik, Alaska. I'm just going to start saying Barrow, Alaska. I wonder if we would have faith that the sun would rise again. I think after 60-something days, I would struggle with that, wouldn't you? It would be hard to think, even after we may have lived there year after year after year, it would still be hard to think, is the sun really going to rise this year? But do we have faith that the sun will rise here? We must, or we wouldn't go outside and wait and watch for it. Take our coffee outside and sit and listen to the birds as they usher in the sun. But yet sometimes we still act like we're not sure. We still act like we're not sure the sun is going to rise. Sometimes we still act like we're not sure God is going to come to our aid and our side, that God is going to break into our darkness. But today these words from Isaiah reassure us that there is a light more constant than that great big ball of fire in the sky. And that is the light of Christ, who promises, "And lo, I am with you always." So today on this dark, dreary day, trust that the light still shines. The light still shines in our lives, in our hearts, and still breaks our darkness and brings us hope and peace. And trust in that light, the light that can never be extinguished. Let us pray. Oh God, sometimes we do question whether or not light will ever shine again in whatever darkness we are experiencing. Sometimes that darkness is because of our own doing, because we have not trusted you. We have grown impatient, or we question whether or not you are right. And so we go our own way, only to go further and further into that dark world where we see no light. At other times, we may be in the darkness because of the actions of others. And in those times, we feel like you have abandoned us. And we wonder, will you ever come again? We hear your promises from the prophets, and we want to trust and believe in them. But Lord, sometimes it is hard. But today, as we see the flames on the candles burning, the lights breaking through the darkness in the altar, we are reminded that your light continues to shine, that it never goes out. And if we just turn towards it, we will see it. And it will take its residence in our hearts. Lord, lead us back to the light today, that light of hope and peace and love and grace. Come, Lord Jesus, light of the world, come. Amen.